Today's show is brought to you by Copenhagen-Dazs, the new ice cream flavored tobacco. Copenhagen-Dazs, now a new wintergreen marble fudge.
I think I'll have to pass. Okay. Bob McClain. Here we go, getting underway with the fourth and final hour, the Bobby Mac Show on the penultimate workday of the week this Thursday. We are entering into the bonus hour, but just like the three that preceded it, you know what we do. Let's do that. Grab your phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. My email address, bob@1063word.com. Great to have you along. This business with these self-styled reporters at the White House trying to hijack, essentially, the news conference and make themselves major media stars has gone about far enough. And as a result, of course, Jim the Accoster has now found his White House press credentials suspended indefinitely. This is not the first time we've seen this kind of thing, although the reaction is interesting. Back in 2012, a correspondent named Neil Monroe, he was at the White House news conference representing the Daily Caller, and he interrupted President Obama at a press briefing, but he didn't hog the microphone or push away the staffer who was attempting to retrieve the mic. At that time, CNN was not exactly outraged. Obama interrupted, disrespectful, or the latest in the era of incivility. Interrupting the president mid-speech is considered a serious breach of etiquette, wrote The Atlantic, and Obama's reaction shows how peeved and probably taken aback he was. Monroe and the Daily Caller have immediately come in for harsh criticism by a wide range of journalists, including conservatives. So Neil Monroe, when he merely interrupted President Obama, was harshly criticized. And yet today we see the Radio TV News Directors Association and the White House Press Correspondents Association all rushing to defend the heroic defender of the free press, Jim the Accoster. So we'll see what happens there. One other note. And you're not going to hear about this, or you may, but it'll have a different spin on it. The president today made a move toward tightening asylum claims at the border. They have put a new rule in the Federal Register, and that will allow President Trump in the future to classify a group of aliens under his authority from the Immigration and Nationality Act. Now, of course, this will be immediately facing a court challenge, and if the Ninth Circus, as they did today with their DACA ruling, lives up to their reputation, then it'll be tied up in courts for a while. The interim rule, if applied to a proclamation suspending the entry of aliens who cross the southern border unlawfully, would bar them from eligibility for asylum and would therefore channel inadmissible aliens to ports of entry, where they would be processed in a controlled, orderly, and lawful manner, the new Department of Justice guidance reads. Today, we're using the authority granted to us by Congress to bar aliens who violate a presidential suspension of entry or other restrictions. The intent of the policy move is to funnel the Central American migrants to legal ports of entry along the U.S.-Mexico border for an expedited process. The new administration rule comes as the caravan of nearly 6,000 would-be asylum seekers is making its way towards the U.S. border. The years-long process of adjudication poses a further problem for authorities when it comes to detention of the migrants, particularly those who arrive as part of a family unit. So it's not an invasion, Jim the Accoster explained to President Trump. It's merely hundreds and hundreds, not the 7,000 or so that CNN routinely reports. It's hundreds of these individuals from Central America, and they're hundreds of miles away. Yeah. And which direction are they traveling in, Jim? Back towards Guatemala or north to the U.S.? In on the text line, Bobby, it's a great thing that the Democrats won the House. Trump will need a reason to rally the voters again in 2020. Nancy, Pelosi, that is the scapegoat. I think he revels in having Pelosi as a foil. Bob, did you hear about the Satanists suing Netflix? No, but nothing surprises me anymore. Bobby, did I hear the Girl Scouts have filed suit against the Boy Scouts? Yes, they have. Because the Boy Scouts, in their move to become as liberal and as emancipated as possible, are no longer known as the Boy Scouts. They are merely the Scouts. And so the Girl Scouts feel it somehow presents a threat to their campaigns. Alan R. in Spartanburg. Limerick alert. Okay, here we go. Limerick alert from Alan R. in Spartanburg, poet laureate of the Bobby Mack Show. Oh, and this needs some setup, too. I mentioned in the very first hour of the program, I got an email today from Shelton in Spartanburg. It said, Bob, saw this in the Herald Journal today. Maybe you won the write-in. God forbid. The story in the Herald Journal says, Cox takes Soil and Water Commission seat. Nigel Cox, COX, won one of the two Spartanburg Soil and Water Commission seats with 94% of the vote, or 49,281 votes. The other seat will be filled by a write-in candidate. Uh-oh. Here's where things get tenuous. According to unofficial results, 2,990 write-in votes were cast. The winning write-in candidate will be announced Friday when votes are certified. So I will be on tenterhooks. I don't, you know, the speculation has been, because I was jokingly saying, you know, and Moneypenny and Annie back in the news center had said that they had written me in for Soil and Water Commissioner. The speculation has been that I did receive a number of texts yesterday that I may have actually won, in which case, I don't know where we go from there. I did take a hydrology course or two way back in the day. So that's what prompts Alan R.'s limerick of the day. Here we go. Grand potentate of soil and water. Soil and water make mud, I explain. Swing a lot of it, Bobby McLean. We don't claim to be saints, so ignore the complaints. Bobby Mack ran a dirty campaign. That's great. Well, look, if I'm in a campaign, it's going to be dirty. All right? Now, what can I tell you? You know, it's just the way it's going to be.
Oh, he's a sick man.
You bet.
If anybody was going to snap, it'd be that guy.
Absolutely. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mack Show. The once and future Soil and Water Commissioner. Be right back.
What?
Welcome back. Boneheads in the News is coming up in the next few minutes. Yeah, I think there's something to what the texter said about Donald Trump really being kind of happy to have Nancy Pelosi as his foil for the next 2 years. I mean, you know, before the election, there actually was speculation that President Trump wanted the Republicans to lose the House in order, of course, to ensure his 2020 reelection by running against the crazy House Democrats led by Nancy, because her verbal faw-paws are almost as legendary as Joe Biden. And on the campaign trail, of course, the president warned his supporters about the dangers of Pelosi speakership. But Trump is a smart guy, and I think he recognizes in her the possibility for deal-making. witness the congratulatory phone call he made to her on election night. And then he tweeted, in all fairness, Nancy Pelosi deserves to be chosen Speaker of the House by the Democrats. If they give her a hard time, perhaps we will add some Republican votes for her. She has earned this great honor. Yeah, and sure, there's some trolling that's going on there. And then the president repeated those remarks at the news conference yesterday. But Pelosi, while, you know, she's castigated as an icon of the liberal left, she also has proven in the past to be a pretty experienced deal maker where she has to be and knows how to strike a bargain. And I think she also understands that the hotheads in her party, the Adam Schiffless and crazy Ocasio-Cortez and mad Maxine Waters and all those, they're calling for impeaching Trump or Justice Kavanaugh, is committing suicide. And I think that's why she tweeted on election night or the day after, for those who want impeachment, that's not what our caucus is about. So we'll see. You know, there are all kinds of calls for investigating this and Trump's taxes and all the rest. And this big George Soros-backed demonstration today from MoveOn.org. The rationale behind that, they are demanding that Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker disclaim any authority over Mueller's Russia probe. And really, there's in my mind, there's no reason why he should. But they said Donald Trump has installed a crony to oversee the special counsel's Trump-Russia investigation, crossing a red line set to protect the investigation. Red line set by who? Trump hasn't done anything to impede his investigation. By replacing Rod Rosenstein with just named Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker as special counsel, Robert Mueller's boss on the investigation, Trump has undercut the independence of the investigation. He has? He hasn't done anything. Whitaker has publicly outlined strategies to stifle the investigation and cannot be allowed to remain in charge of it. Good luck, you guys. They can get out and march all they want. All right, 23 after 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show, and I've been stacking some up here for a while. So let's go ahead and dispense with the Thursday edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Okay, here we go. Let me find my appropriate audio for some of these. Back previous to Halloween, a lot of school teachers were taking advantage of the holiday to set up examples in their class on different things. One teacher decided to pull a Halloween chemistry experiment that went sadly wrong.
Teacher at Duluth High School in Georgia conducting an experiment on Halloween using fire and a pumpkin. When the fireball then ignited, engulfing the teacher, setting her hair on fire, she suffered minor injuries.
To Ms. Cook, get well soon, and to any other teacher that is doing experimenting, and stay safe.
We were doing a chemistry project, and it was supposed to go through like the pumpkin fire. When it went down, it exploded, and it got all in her face.
And so we're looking into what happened and to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I would hope so. She's going to be okay, but it it brings new meaning to the expression, hair on fire. Here's one for you, Moneypenny. The folks that go around and collect all the items out of the Goodwill bins, they found an unexpected surprise in one of the bins the other day. You don't usually, when you go to the Goodwill bins, expect to find a boa constrictor.
I'm the one that went and got James the loud knock on the door. And I just told him we needed him down here immediately. We got a snake.
Well, I hear a loud pounding on my office door. And Randy over here says, we need you right now. So we come over here and we see the snake, like as you see on the pictures, curled up on the black bins that we have. And then that's when we try to get our plan of action going.
Yeah, well, this guy, James, at that Goodwill office, he is the equivalent of Moneypenny. Because when we have a snake issue here, Moneypenny is our default expert on snakes. Some guy in Columbus, Indiana, cops at Columbus, Indiana, were patrolling and driving slowly last Friday morning when a 28-year-old guy, Jacob Walter Meyer by name, pulled up behind him and started honking and waving at him. So they pulled over to see if he needed help, and then he just blew right past him. They noticed he only had one working brake light, so they tried to pull him over, but he wouldn't stop. Well, they wound up chasing him for more than a mile before he pulled into a parking lot. Turned out it was his parking lot at work. Jacob was trying to not be late to work. That's why he honked at the cops and wouldn't pull over. You need to rethink this decision-making process here, Jacob, because instead of being late to work, he wound up missing work altogether when they arrested him for the felony charge of resisting law enforcement with a vehicle. What were you thinking? Want to know what's weaker than wearing your Halloween costume after Halloween? How about wearing parts from two costumes after Halloween? Oh, and committing a crime in the process. That's not too cool either. 30-year-old Colleen Dickens from Houston, day after Halloween, she robbed a convenience store wearing a big, furry, oversized dog head and a pair of wings to set it off. Big robbery, she got away with some cigarettes and $10 in cash. Cops managed to track her getaway car, quickly caught her, and arrested her for robbery. Wow. We were referencing teachers a few moments ago. There's an assistant principal in Louisiana whose school has been doing Alcohol Awareness Week. And apparently, she was like, "You had me at alcohol." Cops in Pierreport, southern Louisiana, got a call about a dangerous driver on the highway, so they followed the car all the way to the elementary school parking lot. The woman driving, 49-year-old Rachel Turley, the assistant principal at the school. And, this happened to be the first day of the school's Red Ribbon Week, which is their annual event for alcohol awareness. Had she been overserved? Well, her blood alcohol level was almost three times the legal limit, so she was arrested for driving while intoxicated. No word on whether she still has a job. She also was charged with a felony count of irony. Wow. How about this guy? You may have seen this story. The guy got on a Delta flight and sat down in the seat, and, well, it wasn't good.
Feces, and it was all over me. I sat in it. It was on the seat. It was on the floor, the seat front. I was literally in it. I have no idea why I wasn't offered something from the biohazard kit to clean myself up with. Instead, I was handed two paper towels and one of those miniature bottles of Bombay Sapphire, a bottle of gin to clean myself with. At the very beginning, she sighed, "What's your problem?" You know, I had to step back for a moment and say, "All right, keep your composure. You do not want to be one of these people that you see on the news getting kicked off of a flight." Because really, it took every amount of patience that I had just to keep my cool. Meanwhile, I'm covered in feces. She said to me, "Well, that's not my problem." I said, "I'm sorry." She says, "Well, if the cleaning crew didn't clean your seat, I don't have any control over that." It filled the entire plastic bag, paper towels full of feces, and they wanted me to sit in that. I have never in my entire life felt more dehumanized. I felt like an animal. Words can't even describe how awful it was. And they had so many opportunities to make it right.
Yuck. Delta has now apologized for the incident. The one question I have is, if the seat was filled with it, the seat back and everything, didn't you notice that before you sat down? Inquiring minds want to know. We'll see, but I'm certain he probably is going to get some kind of nice settlement out of it, don't you know? There you go. That's the Thursday edition of
Boneheads in the News.
News.
Real news is next here at 6:30. Annie in the News Center. I'm right back with the last half of the bonus hour. On the way next. Welcome back. 6:36 now, 24 before 7 here in the Bobby Mack Show, in the closing minutes of the bonus hour, last half of it here for Thursday. One other note on this business with this Antifa-backed Smash Racism DC group that attacked Tucker Carlson's home last night. Twitter suspended the account linked to this domestic terrorist Antifa movement after they posted the personal address of Tucker Carlson, along with the addresses of Sean Hannity, Ann Coulter, and Neil Patel, who's the co-founder of the Daily Caller. But a second Antifa-linked account has yet to be suspended. So they suspended Smash Racism DC, but this other Antifa-affiliated account has begun spreading these various addresses, and that one has yet to be suspended or banned by Twitter. So that's somewhat telling in itself. In on the text line this evening, 71307, Bob, didn't Woodrow Wilson imprison some of the press under the 1918 Sedition Act? I don't remember that, but I can certainly do a check and find out. But then again, you know, Abraham Lincoln during the, as Grandma Hughes used to call it, the late unpleasantness, the Civil War, war between the states, war of northern aggression, whatever you want to call it. During that conflict, Lincoln not only imprisoned some newspaper publishers that wrote stories he didn't like, he shut down their papers. Bobby, so never Trumper wins one race and has a big-time victory. GOP won everywhere else. He owes the other guys money. Bobby, I found One City Plaza, walked by there about 15 minutes ago, and this was 15 minutes ago that this came in. Walking my dog, there were 9 people there. Two little skinny twits holding signs that say no one is above justice. Whoopee from Jim in Easley. Bobby, the best revenge for losing the House is to stack the Supreme Court. You think this will? No, I don't think this particular latest injury will be enough to keep Ruth Bader Ginsburg from her seat on the bench. I mean, she already has fought battles against colon cancer and pancreatic cancer, both. She's tough. Bobby, do you think the Dems could steal the Senate seat in Florida, kind of like they did for Stuart Smalley in Minnesota? They're trying. They're trying, and an automatic recount apparently will be triggered. So this could be, into sometime next week before we have a resolution there. And I guess maybe this weekend before we know about the McSally Sinema race for the Senate seat to replace Jeff Snowflake in Arizona. Bobby Mack, I want to congratulate you on the fine campaign you ran against me for the Soil and Water Commission spot. You sling mud with the best of them. Sincerely, Tommy Springer. Woo! Thank you, Springer. The campaign was none of my doing. All right. Bobby, wow. And just to think I was going to write Mickey Mouse's name in for that Soil and Water Commission spot. Congratulations, Bobby. Premature. Premature. Nothing is written yet. One of the callers earlier today mentioned a piece at The Federalist today about this dust-up with Jim the Acoster. And so I went and looked it up because it was highly recommended to me. Bray Payton, or Bree Payton, wrote the piece at The Federalist. Jim Acosta's self-important martyr routine is growing stale. CNN's Jim Acosta pushed a White House intern's arm during a press conference Wednesday and then lied about it. This altercation and the aftermath are a perfect example of how the Trump administration effectively uses members' sense of self-importance against them. When President Trump called on another reporter at Wednesday's briefing, Acosta tried to squeeze in another question, prompting a female White House intern to approach him and attempt to take the microphone. In response, Acosta leveled his hand on her arm in a karate chop-like motion to keep the microphone out of her grasp. Nevertheless, in an interview about the incident later, Acosta lied, claiming that he had never touched the young woman. Quote, obviously, you know, I didn't put my hands on her or touch her, as they are alleging, and it's just unfortunate that the White House is saying this. Acosta clearly does touch her in the video. To state otherwise is fake news. While it doesn't appear that he used enough force to have injured her, it's clear he was acting boorish and using his body in a way that he probably would not have if that White House intern were male. Despite his "pardon me, ma'am," he used force to physically overpower her so he could continue talking after the president had called on another reporter. Hours after the briefing, White House press office announced that Acosta's press credentials were suspended until further notice due to his behavior towards the young woman. We will, however, never tolerate a reporter placing his hands on a young woman just trying to do her job as a White House intern, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said in a statement. This conduct is absolutely unacceptable. It's also completely disrespectful to the reporter's colleagues not to allow them an opportunity to ask a question. She also tweeted footage of the incident that had been slowed down to show what happened. In response, CNN said Acosta had the network's full support and claimed that Sanders was lying, saying the revocation of his pass was done in retaliation for his challenging questions at today's press conference. In an explanation, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders lied. She provided fraudulent accusations and cited an incident that never happened. Boy, that is just a bald-faced lie. This unprecedented decision is a threat to our democracy, and the country deserves better. Jim Acosta has our full support. Well, I'll agree with him with one thing. The country does deserve better than Jim Acosta. CNN's Brian Stelter accused Sanders of tweeting a distorted video. Where'd you obtain the distorted Acosta video you posted? InfoWars personality posted the same video 2 hours before you did. Surely you don't trust InfoWars. He also retweeted another tweet that claimed the video was doctored to make it look like he's doing a karate chop or something. The video Sanders tweeted had been slowed down to show the incident in greater detail, but it did not invent or make up the part where Acosta's arm comes into contact with the young woman. In a segment a few hours after the incident, around mid-afternoon, Acosta tried to play off the whole thing as if he is the victim in all of this because he was impeded from asking President Trump tough questions. When they go low, we keep doing our jobs, Acosta said. He then went on to claim that Trump was attacking journalists of color at Wednesday's briefing. He was attacking my friend April Ryan, at one point telling her to sit down. But this claim that Trump's harsh words towards Ryan were somehow racially motivated is insane if you watch the clip. At the briefing, Ryan interrupted Sagar Injeti, an Indian American who is the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, before he could ask a question after being called upon. President Trump scolded her for being rude and interrupting the other reporter, then proceeded to take a question from him and answer it. Here's a tally of all the things Acosta and CNN have lied about thus far related to the story. Acosta said he didn't touch the White House intern when video footage shows he did. He called Sanders a liar, claiming she made up a physical altercation involving him and the intern. His colleagues claim Sanders released doctored footage, implying that the footage released invented the physical contact, although it can also be observed while watching the video at normal speed. And he claimed Trump was attacking journalists of color for telling one African-American reporter to stop interrupting an Indian-American reporter. The reliable sources host is right about Acosta being effective, except not at all in the way he described. Acosta's badgering and sexist behavior have not made him a fearless reporter holding those in power to account, but has made him a useful White House whipping boy. When Trump calls him fake news, it's much easier now for the American people to get behind that message because they know Acosta has repeatedly lied about a physical altercation that was caught on tape. This fight against the fake news media has proved to be effective for the president, yet CNN decided to double down on Acosta's tactics, proving that after 3 years, they don't at all understand why Trump keeps winning this game. That is a piece today at The Federalist, and I'll pass that along to Moneypenny. We'll put it on our Facebook page so you can share it at your leisure. 647, 13 before 7 o'clock now here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Welcome back. Coming up on 6:52, 8 before 7 here in the Bobby Mac Show. By the way, I will not be with you tomorrow. Jim Bohannon will be filling in for me, and then I'll be back with you on Monday. I desperately hope, because I live through it, that we are not headed for more hanging chads and all the other business we went through in Florida. But apparently, the national microscope is going to be focused there again. Tom Perez, the commie who is the head of the DNC, I'm sure is pushing a lot of this stuff. Stacey Abrams, the Democrat candidate for governor in Georgia, is refusing to concede. And in the meantime, Florida's chief legal officer, the Secretary of State, Ken Dentzner, told county election supervisors today to plan for as many as 3 statewide recounts and for extraordinary public and media scrutiny in the state with the singular status of unusually close elections. The recounts will be watched nationally. We're under a microscope, he said on a conference call with counties. Statewide races for U.S. Senate and Commissioner of Agriculture are within the machine recount window, 0.5%. This according to incomplete and unofficial statewide returns. The third race for governor is at present slightly outside that threshold, although Gillum, the commie Democrat candidate there, he's as far left progressive as you can get. He already did a concession speech the other night, and now his people are urging him, now you should retract your concession and demand a recount. Governor Rick Scott, at the center of one of those possible recounts, Scott declared victory over Democrat Senator Bill Nelson late on Tuesday in the Senate race, but the two were separated on Thursday morning by 0.26% of more than 8 million votes. You remember, of course, as I referenced, Florida at the center of the political universe in 2000 for that 35-day ordeal following the presidential election that ended with George W. Bush winning the presidency by 537 votes over Al Gore, the Supreme Court decision there. These are the first statewide recounts since the case of Bush versus Gore, which prompted Florida to switch from the antiquated paper punch card ballots to touchscreen machines that were soon discarded and replaced with the current system of optical scan paper ballots. The supervisor of elections in Okaloosa County, Paul Lux, offered encouraging words for his colleagues, many of whom have never experienced a statewide recount. Don't worry about what's going on outside your own borders, he said. This is not the state that people continue to make fun of when it comes to recounts. Well, let's hope that turns out to be the case. And one final note tonight, D.C. police say they are now investigating as a suspected hate crime the mob that stormed Tucker Carlson's home last night in Northwest Washington, D.C. And this is that same Antifa group. They're hardly any stranger to harassment or violence. In fact, that's pretty much the gold standard for them. Smash Racism D.C., the mob group that assembled outside of Tucker Carlson's home last night, responsible for other incidents of harassment and violence. They posted videos of their members chanting, "Racist scumbag, leave town," and "Tucker Carlson, we will fight. We know where you sleep at night." Many of these people show up, of course, you know, with their identities disguised by masks and wearing all black, very proud of what they're doing. So we'll see if the police are able to track any of these people down or not. Jimbo will be here tomorrow. Make him feel welcome, please. And I will see you back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Till then, God bless.
Back home, folks.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter, every time we say goodbye, goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello, I must be going.
What?
I must be going.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you. Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.